Today we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the life we have in Him. We live with the full knowledge of our Redeemer because He shed His blood on the cross, died, and rose from the dead. Jesus paid for all of our sins, and it's our joy to know Him personally as our Savior. I'm Mike Salem. It is such a pleasure each week to read notes and comments from you, as well as introduce one of my dad's timeless messages. A note recently from Missouri reads, "No words can express to you how much I love to get Pastor Salem's sermons every Sunday. They make my week brighter. I am disabled at 84 and cannot attend church. My love to all of you." In today's Easter message, The Transforming Power of the Resurrection, Dad speaks to the wonderful Savior and the difference He makes in our life. God bless you.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour, and I want to start out by saying hallelujah, Easter Sunday. And this is the most wonderful Sunday of all the year. Christ is risen. And that's what we're going to talk about, the wonderful, wonderful Savior and the difference it makes in our life. But first, let's look at the words of St. Paul when he writes in 1 Corinthians 15, "But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man after his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ's at his coming. Then cometh the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdoms of God, kingdoms to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet." Oh, Heavenly Father, thank you for this Easter Sunday. Thank you for the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Thank you that we have a risen Savior, not somebody whose body is smoldering someplace in some grave, but he is alive at the right hand of the throne of God. And one of these bright sunny days, he's going to come back. He's going to rule and reign in this world. Oh, thank you for Jesus. And it is our earnest prayer that everyone who worships with us today, every last one without exception, will be sure they put their faith in Jesus Christ and has asked him to come into their heart and life. And then, when time is no more, we'll all be together in heaven. That's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Jan's going to sing for us, "It's Still the Cross," and God bless you, Jan.
It's not conservative or liberal, however they're defined. It's not about interpretations or the judgments of the mind. It's the opposite of politics, power and prestige. It's about a simple message and whether reflected in our love. It's still still the cross. It's still the cross. The cross.
Thank you, Jan. St. Paul said, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross, the old rugged cross. And on Easter Sunday, we think about the cross because upon that cross, Jesus paid for the sins of the world and he died. And on Easter Sunday, that grave was empty. And I don't care who you are or what you believe or what you teach or anything else. It's a proven fact, an historical fact. That first Easter Sunday morning, that tomb was empty. It was empty. Christ is risen. And so we're going to just rejoice this Easter Sunday. And I want to share some of the letters we get. And I want to just thank you for writing. They're a blessing to us. And then we get letters and people say, oh, we like to hear the letters, what people are thinking and what they're thinking about. And then many people will tell about some of their trials and troubles. And then people will pray all over the world. They'll pray for them. So we just thank you for your letters and just appreciate it so much. And our first letter is from Buckley, Washington. And this person writes, how wonderful to happen upon a good old-fashioned Christ-centered TV service, nonetheless. What a thrill your services are to me. Good Bible-centered preaching. Thank you to all the folks you have a part in giving them their hearts and time for the Lord Jesus Christ. I have known the Lord as my Savior since the age of 5 or 6 years. He has been blessing my life and life ever since. I am now 79 years young. Please find an enclosed tithe and offering. The Lord lays it upon your work on my heart. I pray for you. I know he's blessing your love and dedication to him. Lovingly in Christ till we meet in our heavenly home. I thought that was really a nice letter, and I noticed two things that I wanted to point out. First of all, they accepted Jesus when they're 5 or 6 years old. I accepted Jesus when I was 10. I remember it as plain, and I'm 96 now, and I remember it as plain as if it was yesterday, last night. And I have a daughter, Patty, and she accepted Jesus when she was 5 years old. Patty's a grandma now. She's living for the Lord. She raised 3 children and know the Lord and love the Lord, and she's walking with Jesus. When you come around and you tell me children can't accept the Lord, it makes me sick, just plumb sick. I don't know how God feels, because Jesus loves the little children, and he's coming into the heart the minute they make that prayer. And if they can love their mother or their dad, they can love Jesus. And I know, so don't you poo-poo any of the children to me. Some say, oh, they got to wait till they know what they're doing. Oh, well, they know enough to love Jesus, love their parents, they can love Jesus. And then we have too many people accepted Jesus at a young age, and they've followed through, living for the Lord 40, 50, 60 years later. Here's Lenexa, Kansas. Oh, yeah, I got to share this. I see and hear, oh, my God, or OMG on TV. On the web, and on conversations. It hurts to hear my Lord's name used as a slang, and no thought they're using the Lord's name in vain. Would you wake up the world that it is not okay? And I can say amen to that. And I do, you hear it, and they'll use God's name just in an offhand way, in a slight way, and even in a cursing way. And God tells us, he says in Deuteronomy 5, verse 11, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. And then that's not all. He says something else. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. God's going to judge you for that. And if you're using the name of God lightly, you ought to reconsider and you ought to abandon it at a moment's time, because God's going to judge you for that, taking the name of his son in vain. God bless you for that letter. And then we have Sioux City, Iowa. My days are blessed because of your service. I never miss a Sunday. And so here's a blessing, and she's thanking us for the service. There's something else we're doing that people are blessing us for, and that is our Bible study. We have a little Bible study called The New Song. And this month, the month of April, we have seven things that happen when you accept Jesus, seven things that happen when you're born again, and the scripture for all of it, of course. And you can, some of these use these for their own personal devotions. Some of them use it in their in homes. They have Bible studies and they use them for that. Any way you like. And it's called The New Song. And if you'd like to get a copy of that, you get your pencil and paper ready and I'll give you the address shortly. And I know what you're thinking right now. You're thinking, oh boy, I can't afford to subscribe to another thing. I'm just paid out. I just can't swing it. Well, I'm going to tell you, we are such nice people that we send this free and postpaid. And you say, how can you do that? Doesn't it cost you something? Yes, it does cost us something. But we always have somebody that'll send a gift to help us. And if they don't, well, then we'll just go broke being good. And I don't know how better way you go broke than being good. But God won't let that happen. We're now in our 39th year. 39 year, we're starting our 40th year. And God has provided for our needs all the way. And I'll tell you how we figure our income. We just give it to God's people. We're not underwritten by any organization or corporation or church or denomination or anything else. We're just listening, waiting for God's people. And God lays it on his heart. So you should say, now let's see, dear Lord, do you want me to help on this? Should I have a part in this? And the Lord will tell you yes or tell you no. Put it somewhere else. I don't know what he'll say. But if he says yes, then you say, how much? And just then you just come along and we'll have enough. And I'll tell you, give the address, get your pencil and paper. You won't want to miss it. Let's see, Abilene, Texas. Here is 6 a.m. here in Abilene, Texas. I turn you on TV. Your use of the Bible is much valued as others talk about politics or sports or whatever. Word of God is Bible. Faith comes by hearing. And that's exactly right. And people are saying, is there any word from God? Is there any word from God? Now, here's what he said. This is a man writing here. The word of God is Bible. Faith comes by hearing. That's exactly right. St. Paul said the same thing. St. Paul said, whosoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. And then he has a question. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how can they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they go be sent without a preacher? So what Paul is saying is, these people would love to accept Jesus, but they can't accept Jesus if they don't know about him. They have to hear. And how can you get the word to them? Well, we're getting the word all over the world. Shortwave radio, we're 90% of the world's population. And we're in other parts of the world, all over the world. And how can we do that? Well, we can do that because Paul says, how shall they hear and how they do it unless they have been sent? Somebody has to send them. Somebody has to pay the way. And so when you give to the Christian Worship Hour, you are investing in eternity. And you're sending out the word, and so people can hear and they can believe. They can't believe if they can't hear it. They've got to hear it. So get your pencil and paper ready. We'll get to that. But oh, here's a couple more letters I want to read. Here, this is one from East Africa. And it's Uganda, East Africa. I live in Uganda. I am an artist using art and music as a tool and perform to preach the gospel of Christ and empower you and children in schools and slum communities. I request if you can keep on sharing ideas about ministry because I love what you're doing. I'll be happy to hear from you. Thank you. And of course, we always answer these people. We hear from international people. We answer every one of their letters. Some of them we can do by email, and some we have to regular mail. But you'll hear from us. So we're praying for this dear brother in East Uganda, East Africa, and all over the world. God has his messengers. Just pray for his pastors and preachers as they preach the word. Overland Park, Kansas. I pray to be saved, but always feel inadequate or not worthy of God's forgiveness and acceptance. And I can say two things about this. First thing, it's a good thing that you feel inadequate and unworthy, because we are all unworthy and our sins separate us from God. So that's a good thing, because if a man thinks he's just fine and dandy, he won't come to Jesus. But if he thinks he's a sinner and he's unworthy, he'll come to Jesus and ask for forgiveness. And the second thing I want to tell you is that God will never turn you away. You can read all through the Bible. You can, especially in the New Testament with Jesus, you can read all you want about Jesus, but you will never, ever read a single place where Jesus turned anybody away. There's instances where people turn Jesus away, but you've never played a place where Jesus turned anybody away. Him that cometh, he says, him that cometh to me, I will no wise cast out. And you say, yeah, but if he knew my sins, he sure wouldn't want anything to do with the likes of me. Well, I'm going to tell you, friends, that I was 10 years old when I accepted the Lord, so I didn't have time to get into anything really bad. But it doesn't matter what, it's a big sin or a little sin. You know, if you use one slang word, if you sass your parents, if you don't clean the room the way you're supposed to, that's a sin. And then maybe you say, oh, but you don't know my sins. My sins are terrible. I don't even want to think about them. And to make it worse, and this is what I hear the most so many times, I don't know if the most, but so many times they'll say, I sinned against light. I knew it was wrong, and I did it anyway. If I'd have been ignorant about it, maybe God would forgive me. But I knew it was wrong and I did it. Listen, God says, my grace is sufficient for thee. He says, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That wonderful grace of God means that he loves you and he'll forgive you. Now you can take all the religions of the world, anyone you want, and there isn't a single one that has the word grace. Only Christianity, only Jesus. And that wonderful Jesus says, my grace is sufficient for thee. And if you come to me like the prodigal son, and I don't care what your sin has been. Paul said he was the chief of sinners. God saved him and he'll save you. And you say, what do I need to do? I'll tell you what you do. You just come to Jesus and talk to Jesus. And just say, dear Jesus, I've sinned against you. I'm sorry for my sin, and I ask you to please take it away. And he'll wash it away in the blood of the Lamb, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And then you say, oh, Jesus, I'll forsake all my sins. I'll follow you the best I can. You'll never be perfect. And when you stumble, you ask Jesus to forgive you. 1 John 1, verse 9, God tells us, he says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And you say, how many times would he do that? Would he do that 100 times? He'd do it 1,000,000 times. I don't care how many times you go to Jesus, he'll forgive you for your sin. And so you just ask Jesus to forgive you, and then you promise to serve him the best you can, forsake sin, serve him. And then when you do fail, because you're going to fail, just ask for forgiveness and he'll forgive you. It's the only way to travel. And God is waiting for you to call on his name and be saved. Whosoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Here's York, Nebraska. Here's a person. I know you're going to, when you hear this as a young lady, and you're going to pray for her. You can't help but pray for her. She writes, I'm really disliked here. She's in prison. She's in women's prison. I'm really disliked here. It makes me feel like I'm a bad person or something. I know I'm a child of God and that God loves me. Being here in prison where I'm very hated or disliked, and everyone thinks I'm going to tell on them, and they talk out loud about my crime, and they call me names. It's hard to have great self-esteem and not to let it get to you. I do not care what they do. They'll have to deal with their own sins as I will with mine. None are perfect in the sight of God. Can you help me, Pastor? I need God's help. Don't your heart just, you want to cry, don't you? Here they are. She's in prison. And I don't know what she's there for, and I don't care. It doesn't matter. She's asked Jesus to forgive her, and she's a child of God. And so we all need to pray for this. It's in York, Nebraska, prison in York, Nebraska. You pray for her. We've already written to her. I'd call her if I could, but no way I can do that. We've already written to her. We send her literature. We encourage her. We have herself, we give her a self-addressed stamped envelope to write back, and we'll do everything we can to help. We hear from prisoners all the time, all the time, all over the United States. And so our heart goes out to them. And so you pray for this lady. And when I always tell them, remember this, Joseph was in prison in the Old Testament. He was in prison. He was falsely accused. He was innocent. He was falsely accused. He was in prison. But he trusted God, and he honored God, and God honored him. And St. Paul, he was in prison, and he was in prison because he was a preacher. You say, well, I know some preachers I like to get in prison. Well, maybe they got it coming. I don't know. They're just as big a sinner as anybody else. And at least I should speak for myself. I can't talk for my brothers. Maybe they're perfect. But I know I'm a poor old sinner saved by grace, see. But I should have been in prison. They could have put me in prison for I don't know how many different things. But here I am running free. But you're in prison. So now when St. Paul was in prison, he talked about Jesus. He told him Jesus loved him and how Jesus saved him and how that he had put a man to death, Stephen. He stood there while they stoned Stephen to death, a young Christian man. And God forgave him for that sin, see. And so you can give them hope. There's hope. And some of them write back, yes, they're witnessing for Jesus, and they found a friend, and they're talking about Jesus. One more, a little short letter here, so I don't run out of time. Sartell, Minnesota, really enjoy your services and entire service. You preach God's truths and how to be saved every week. Keep shining for Jesus. So that's what we want to do. We want to keep shining for Jesus, but we've got to have your help. Have to have your prayers. Have to have your gifts. We have to pay our way like anybody else. And so you write to us. Christian Worship Hour. Christian Worship Hour. Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. If you want to, you can send a gift on ChristianWorshipHour.com. And when you write, we'll send you the little Bible study. And this month is about 7 things that happens when you're born again. The wonderful, wonderful things about knowing Jesus and having Jesus. And so we'll just send you that. It would be a great joy to do that. And then we want to have you, when you send your gift, we want you to know that we're a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability and that they audit all of our books, how much we receive and what we pay. It's all above board. If you have a question, you'd like to know, help us out, we'd like to help you out with that. And it'll always be based on the Bible. So don't forget to write. Now, those of you, again, who want to give it to you on shortwave, Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. So now we're going to take an offering, and Jan's going to play. I'm going to pray, and you just give as God lays on your heart. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for these gifts in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Jan. God bless you for your ministry of music. Appreciate that. We're reading from Philippians chapter 1, and if you have your Bibles, you can turn to chapter 1 and verse 21. And while you're doing that, we'll just remind you that every week we pray for the persecuted church. And so today we're going to be praying for the persecuted church in Iran. Now, we've prayed for some of these before, but there are 10 places that are the worst on earth, the hardest place to live a Christian life. And so we repeat them every once in a while because they're really they're all having an awful battle living for the Lord, but some of them are fierce. It's just terrible. And God will bless them and take care of them, I know, and he'll take them home. Maybe he took many of them home, but God bless them. We're going to look in Iran. Philippians 1, beginning with the 21st verse. For me to live is Christ. St. Paul's writing this. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I would choose, I ought not. For I am in a spirit betwixt two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall be abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Christ Jesus for me by my coming to you again. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. But whether I come or see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And in nothing be terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation, that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which he saw in me and now here to be in me. So let's look to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, this Easter Sunday, we rejoice in you because we have such victory in Christ. We thank you that, Lord, you had loved us so much. You went to that cross, but you were raised from the grave and that you'll live forever and you'll never die again. And you'll never be mistreated by men again either, Lord. Enemy hands will never touch you again. They did on the cross, but they'll never do it again. And so we just thank you, you're the risen Christ, and you live in our hearts when we open our hearts to you. And we just pray that everyone in the Lord, if there's somebody that's watching or listening today and they've never opened their heart to you, oh, dear God, we just beg of you that you'll, by your Holy Spirit, encourage them to make that prayer, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Save me for Jesus' sake. Yes, so we pray that you'll do that. And then, Lord, we're praying for those on beds of sickness today, and we're praying for those who are shut-ins. We're praying for those, Heavenly Father, that have lost loved ones and their heart is aching today. And maybe some of them lost in some accident or maybe some disease. Well, however it happened, they're gone. And Lord, we pray for the young people today. And oh, they have so many temptations. And life is a temptation hard for them. Just to help them to lean on Jesus. Help them early in life to just learn to put everything in your hands and go as the Spirit leads. And the children, the precious children, oh, may many of them make in their innocent little ways and ask Jesus into their heart because he loves them so much and he held them in his arms and he blessed them when he was here. And so now we pray, Lord, for the church and the church people, for our brothers and sisters in Iran. And we know that they're undergoing suffering. And so they have for so long, Lord, and their churches have been burned down or knocked down, and their parents and their homes have been torn apart. Maybe they don't know where the children are. Maybe they don't know where dad is. Maybe dad is gone. Maybe they took his life. You know, maybe the mother, too. God only knows what those demon-possessed people do. And so just to help them to know that we love them and and that they're an encouragement to us. And we are stronger Christians. We are better Christians because of their stand for you. They're our model. And we thank you for them. Bless them. Now bless this service, Lord. Honor your name and honor Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Hank's going to sing, Love Was in the Room. And God bless you, Hank.
It was early in the morning, and a stillness filled the garden where he lay. Then the ground shook with power as the angel came and rolled a stone away. All the glory of the living God broke through to the darkness of the tomb. And the love of the Father came and filled every corner of the room. Love was in the room, and new life was born where only death had been. Love was in the room, and death and hell would never reign again. When the glory of the living God broke through to the darkness of the tomb, the earth was filled with his beauty. And love was in the room. I was trapped in sin and weakness, sinking ever deeper day by day. Then the blessed Holy Spirit came to touch my heart and roll a stone away. All the glory of the living God broke through to the darkness of the tomb. And the love of the Father came in, filled every corner of my room. Love was in the room, and new life was born where only death had been. Love was in the room, and death and hell would never reign again. Oh no, when the glory of the living God broke through to the darkness of the tomb, the earth was filled with his beauty, and love was in the room. When the glory of the living God broke through to the darkness of the tomb, the earth was filled with his beauty, and love was in my room. Love was in the room. Love was in the room. Love was in the room.
Well, thank you, Hank. And that surely it, love was there. Love was at that cross that brought Jesus, took him to the cross. The love was there, gave his life to pay for our sins, was buried and raised the third day, and we have Easter. And so the last word isn't death. The last word is there's life after death because of Easter. The story of Easter begins, of course, on Good Friday. It wasn't good for Jesus, but was good for us because it meant that he was going to make a way for us that we could go to heaven. We're all sinners. Once we have passed that age of accountability, all the little children belong to the Lord, believe me. But when we come to the age of accountability, we're responsible. Then, if we don't accept Jesus Christ, then we're lost. And before Jesus went to the cross, we had no hope. And so the blood of bulls and goats were used all those years. It never washed the sins away, just covered them. When Jesus shed his blood, without the remission of the precious blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus washes away all sin, all the Old Testament, all of the New Testament, all the present, and all the future. As long as the world stands, as long as you and I live, if we call on the name of the Lord, we can be saved. And so when the Lord came, he found me, for instance, and here I am a sinner, and I sinned against the Lord. We sin against the Lord by doing certain deeds, saying certain words, having different thoughts, sins of omission, some sins of commission, and all of these sins. And these sins have to be paid for. And so the old rugged cross, and there's your cross again. And Hebrews 9:22 says, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. So Easter begins on Good Friday with the cross and the blood and the death. But death ends on Easter Sunday. Jesus Christ came from the grave and he's victor over death. And there's so many wonderful things about this wonderful Lord Jesus. There are many different appearances of Jesus after his death and his resurrection. For instance, with at least 10 different reasons, appearances. One is seen by certain women as they returned from the sepulcher. He was seen by Mary Magdalene at the sepulcher. He was seen by the Apostle Peter. He was seen by the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. He was seen by the 10 apostles, Thomas being absent. He was seen by the 10 apostles and Thomas being present. He was seen by several of the disciples on the Sea of Galilee. He was seen by the apostles plus 500 brethren at one time. He was seen by James. He was seen by the apostles at Jerusalem just before his ascension on the Mount of Olives. And so let me repeat this. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is an historical event. It's an historical fact. And it's something you can count on and believe on. All the great leaders of the world's religions have decayed in the grave. But Jesus left nothing behind but an empty tomb. A glorious chorus of angels singing. He is not here. He is risen just as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. A man who could go into the darkness of death and come back alive. Only Jesus Christ could do that, and he did that. And so Jesus was declared with power to be the Son of God by the resurrection from the dead, Romans 1, verse 4. So Jesus Christ, this wonderful Savior, gives to those who trust in him, receive him into their life. He gives them eternal life. He gives them age-abiding life. He gives them life eternal, whatever you want to call it. And it is a life that begins the moment we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior. The moment we make that prayer, and you just a prayer and say, Dear Jesus, I'm a poor lost sinner, and I'm sorry for my sins. And I ask you to wash away my sins and take away my sins. And I'll follow you the best I can on you, make you my Lord and my Savior. And thank you, Jesus. If you make that prayer, you're saved. Jesus says in John 5, verse 24, Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath. The minute you accept Jesus Christ, you have everlasting life. John 5, 24, hath everlasting life. And then Jesus went farther, and he said, and shall not come into condemnation. That is, you won't go into hell, but you're passed from death unto life, heaven. Oh, do I love to preach the gospel, that wonderful gospel, because it's something eternal. You can get some lawyer, you can get some politician, and he'll give you something to last you a week or maybe a year or so. What do we give you? The gospel. It is forever. And after you die, it carries on, never ends, through Jesus Christ. So we rejoice in this wonderful Savior, and we're transformed by the power of God. And if you're not a believer, oh, you have no hope, none at all. But now we have hope. Jesus Christ, this wonderful Savior. And so he tells us, he that believeth on the Son hath life. He that believeth on the Son of God, he that believeth not, but the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. And when Jesus talked to Martha, he was talking about this life and death situation. And he was talking about his resurrection, and you need to believe in the resurrected Christ. And so in John 11, he talks to Martha. And he says to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth, heareth me. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Martha, do you believe this? And she saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which shall come into the world. That was it. And it was a transforming act. Because when we accept Jesus Christ, we become a new creation in Christ. And when we accept the Lord Jesus Christ, we have different attitudes and different goals and different ideas, and we're a different person because the Holy Spirit comes and dwells within us. We just had a regular letter from a prisoner in one of the prisons. I can't remember where. And he says, I want to have the Holy Spirit. I'm trusting Jesus, but I want the Holy Spirit. Well, we're baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ when we accept Jesus. And when we accept Jesus, we receive Jesus. We receive the Holy Spirit of God within us. And he will never leave us. And he'll always be with us. Look at the Apostle Paul then, how his life changes. Paul was a man, he was raised Saul of Tarsus. He was an enemy of Christ and his followers. He caused many problems for the church, and he put some of them to death. And he watched as godly Stephen, first martyr of the church, was stoned to death. They laid the people that did the stoning, laid their clothes at Saul's feet so he'd protect them. They wouldn't nobody take them. And they went and they took those stones, and they weren't little pebbles. They were large stones as big as your head. And they would pick them up and to throw them until the man fell down. They would stand over the man and then throw those stones down and kill him. Paul was in agreement of that. But he was transformed, and he became the apostle, and he preached for Jesus Christ, and eventually he died because of his faith and witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Or look at a man named John Bunyan. He was such a vile mouth that he came down the street. Mothers took their children in so they wouldn't hear him talk, cursing in the bad words he was using. He was immoral. He was a drunkard. He was evil. And he came to Christ. And he was born again. And he became a new creation. And he wrote Pilgrim's Progress, next best seller to the Bible. So these people, they are transformed by the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I want to give you four results of the transformed life once we've accepted Jesus. Well, transformed life is fulfilling. We used to boast of our good times and all the good times we had. And they were parties that weren't fit for a dog. And we had a living and we'd look and do something to fulfill our life. But we were always empty. And we were just like a leaky cistern. And they kept pouring in and nothing there. And then we came to Jesus Christ. And this wonderful Lord tells us we were dead in trespasses and sins. And we didn't know our way out. And so then we came to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we received him into our life. And we are born again. And we had a new life. And I was only 10 years old. So I hadn't been out of the world and got into all the things of the world. But I knew in my heart, I felt so peaceful. I felt so happy. I didn't get goose pimples and I didn't see voices and I didn't see lights and hear voices and all the rest as some people do. I didn't. I just knew it was a transaction. And Jesus says, if you confess your sins to me, I'll forgive your sins and I'll save your soul. And that's what I did. I just a transaction. He says, you give me your sins and I'll give you eternal life. That's it. And some people have great rejoicing. Some people have nothing. I just had a peace that everything was right. Yes, our transformed life then is fulfilling, so we're satisfied. And we're not searching all the time. And like St. Paul said, I've learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. If I have a lot, I'm happy. If I don't have anything, I'm happy because I have Jesus. Beautiful, wonderful Jesus. And then the second thing with transformed life is eternal life. The new life is a life of God. It's the very nature of God. It's the Spirit of God. And when we accept Jesus, he enters our heart. And we're born again. We become a new creation. Paul talks about that new creation. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, he says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And God, and Paul tells us in another place, Christ in you, God in you, the hope of glory. And that wonderful Savior dwells in our heart, and he'll never leave us or forsake us. And so when we accept Jesus, we have a transformed life. And that is a life that lasts forever. You can be on some of your parties and be happy at your parties, but it doesn't last. It doesn't stand at all. And the next day, you're just down. But when you have Jesus, and I'm not saying you're not going to have troubles and trials, because many Christians do have troubles and trials in life, and they have to battles to go through. Look at what the apostles did. All of them died a violent death. Except maybe John. We don't know about John. And think of Jesus. He was in the perfect will of God and how he suffered and didn't have even a place to lay his head. So I'm not saying you're going to be healthy, wealthy, and wise. You may be sick and miserable, but you have Jesus. You have peace. And you have life that is eternal, that's never going to end. Transformed life is eternal life. And then the transformed life has eternal results. When we get to know Jesus, we'll have a heart for other people. And it'll result in our life and show in our life. And we want to help people and encourage people. And we want to help people along. We'll want to love people and comfort people. And we'll do things. And then we'll want to advance the cause of Christ. And maybe God will call some of you to the ministry. I don't know, some of you young people. You'll have that feeling that, yes, I need to follow the Lord. I know when I felt called to the ministry, I just felt like God, I wasn't planning on it at all. And then I just felt, oh, yes, God wants me to be a pastor. And I never turned back and never thought about it again. Just went on with the Lord. Maybe he'll call some of you young people. Wouldn't that be great? God needs lay people, but he needs some pastors too. But more important than that, we're going to have something. We're going to make something that will last forever. And the works that we do is not going to die when we die or cease when we end. It's going to go on forever and ever. God tells us in the book of Daniel, chapter 12 and verse 3, they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. So, you know, you can live a life and it can all die when you die and it's all done. Or you can live a life for Christ, living for Jesus, and it's going on for eternity. And you'll be with those people in heaven that you help to come to him. And you help people come to him by praying and witnessing. And you help people come to him when you support a ministry like this. And there are others, and we're not the only one. But this ministry where we preach the Bible and teach the Word of God, and so people come to know Christ and they're born again. You have to preach the Bible because that's where the power is. God uses the Word of God and the Spirit of God to pierce hearts and to touch the hearts and help them to know that he loves them and he wants them to come or convict them of sin. He uses the Holy Spirit to do that. And then you can have a part in that, see? Be something that is eternal. And the last thing I put down, the transformed life is victorious. When we have victory over death, when we walk with the risen Christ, death no longer is the end. It's just an event in life. Death is not the end. It's just the beginning of something more glorious and wonderful. It is like a coronation. It's a time to rejoice. It's going home. And we're going to see God and we're going to see the Heavenly Father. We're going to see the dear Lord Jesus and the saint of all ages, and those Christian friends of ours are going to be there. We have to do that. Come to Jesus and walk with Jesus. And St. Paul talks about it, and he says about this wonderful heaven. He says, therefore are they before the throne of God. They serve him day and night in his temple. He that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. Neither is there sunlight on them, nor any rest. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Oh, dear friends, you need to have Jesus. You need to have Jesus. But so many people are just living for today, for this world, and it passes when they pass. I remember reading about an old pastor, and he's written to call, and he was invited by one of the members of his church to come over to eat dinner. And it was a wealthy, wealthy man, a farmer. And after they were done eating, the man told the pastor, I'd like to take you for a little ride. And he said, that's just fine. And they drove up on the top of a hill, and the man got out. And he pointed, and he says, look, sir. He pointed south, and then he pointed west, and then he pointed north, and then he pointed east. He says, as far as you can see, I own all of that. That's my property. What do you think of that, pastor? And the old pastor said, you ask me that 100 years from now, it'll all be gone. Don't be a fool. Come to Jesus and serve Jesus and get on his team. And how do you do that? I've said it so many times. You just say, dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins, and I ask you to come into my heart, take my sins away, and I'll serve you the best I can as long as I live. Thank you, Jesus. Now, if you made that prayer, you write to us. Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. If you want to send a gift, we can sure use it because we have to pay our way like anybody else. I never hesitate to let people know that we have to have your help. And you can send us a gift over the internet, christianworshiphour.com. And you can use your money wherever you are in the world, and it'll come in American currency, and we'll pay our bills. And then we will also send you the new song, our little Bible study. You're going to love it, I know. And then let me remind you that we're a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. It's all audited, coming and going, every penny of it. And you can count on it used for the Lord's work. So thank you for your help and your gift. Now let's just pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for all who are coming to you. We thank you for those who have drifted away and are coming back. And Lord, we just want to pray for those who are on beds of sickness today, and those who are shut-ins, and those who are aged, and those who can't get around anymore. Help them to know that you're important to them, and you have them staying here to serve you, to pray, and to witness. And Lord, we pray for the young people. We pray for the children, and pray for all who have special needs. And we just will thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're glad to be with you this Easter Sunday now. Don't you forget to write. And are you on a short wave? I got to give you again. And it's a Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And so we're going to be looking for your gift. And all of you can pray for us. And another thing you can do is tell your friends to tune us in. We could double our congregation overnight if you just tell your friends to listen in. And see if you can get a blessing. And just see, what do you think of it? And this old guy, he's 96 years old. And see if he can get through another sermon. Just tune him in. It'd be kind of a fun thing. I don't want you to bet on it because that's wrong. But just tune us in and pray for us. And we'll just stay at our post. And whether we're singing or whether we're preaching or whatever we're doing, it's always the message of God, the word of God. And people are saying, does God have any word for us today? Yes, he does. And you'll get it here on the Christian Worship Hour. So God loves you. That's why we're doing it. We love you. Christian Worship Hour loves you. So God bless you all. And we'll be looking for you next week, Lord willing. God bless you, everyone.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again, as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area. Subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song. View frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions. And submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.